This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy brewing inside the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Shaylee Rager. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
I'm Kevin Trevlin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm a Report for America fellow.
And I'm Eric Dietrich. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
It's week 11 of the session. 1,148 bills have been introduced. 54 have been signed into law. This week, we're starting to see the state budget take shape. Recreational marijuana regulations are coming soon, and Democrats try again with tax changes as Republican plans move forward. Eric, you've been tracking the budget. Can you kind of just talk us through the process of how they piece it together?
Big picture, the process starts off with the governor putting out their budget proposal, and then the legislature takes it from there and tweaks it to suit their interest. Like a lot of stuff in the legislature, that happens through legislative committees. Yeah, they're both policy committees at the legislature, which are the, you know, like House Judiciary. We hear a lot about what happens there as they're pondering policy bills. They're also budget committees, which don't actually get a lot of attention because they're oftentimes honestly kind of boring. But the budget committees, they actually spend the first half of the session broken into not just committees, but subcommittees that take a detailed look at different pieces of the budget. You know, for example, there's an education subcommittee, there's a health and human services subcommittee, there's another one that looks at infrastructure planning. And so they kind of spend weeks and weeks talking to every agency, looking at everything line item by line item. And then that comes together. So this week was that confluence in the House Appropriations Committee. So each of those breakout groups came back in, kind of said, this is what we think should happen. And then now they've been going through and are voting on kind of specifics, and the pieces that are remaining debates there are getting up and down votes.
It's kind of funny you mentioned how boring the budget committees are and then got immediately very excited about them. So it sounds like House Appropriations has been working at a pretty granular level.
Yeah. So they're debating line item level amendments. They'll spend a little bit of time talking about whether that's a good use of public money or not, and then have a vote on whether or not that should be in the budget or whether that should be taken out if it's already in. And so there is like a pretty fairly detailed level discussion going on with a lot of this stuff. But at the same time, like large chunks of the budget are effectively already decided and like kind of have the hood closed and aren't being cracked open to look at. So there's some level of shoveling snow on top of the iceberg with some of these conversations, though some of them are like pretty specific. To pull up one example that's come up the last couple of days, there's been debate over whether to add a new district court judge in Gallatin County around Bozeman. That's, of course, been growing quite a bit. There are only 3 district court judges there currently and 4 in some other parts of the state. The governor's request had called for new judges in Bozeman and Kalispell, but the Judiciary Subcommittee of the Budget Committee wasn't sure the state could afford that, so they voted and took those things out. And then now they're back in front of the full House Preps Committee. They put the one for Bozeman back in, which is about $400,000 a year. It's both the salary for a judge and also the support staff, like clerks, that a judge needs to do their job. So it's not an insignificant amount of money. So for the time being, the Bozeman judge is in. That could come back out when the bill goes to the House floor, and then it goes over to the Senate side too. So there are multiple steps in the process where things can be pulled in or out. And it's kind of hard to know where things are going to end up until things get to the end sometimes.
Sounds pretty complicated. Shaylee, how do we see politics playing into this?
Yeah, so there are 24 representatives on the House Appropriations Committee, and they took tons of votes on different amendments to the budget last week. Sometimes we see lawmakers vote unanimously on amendment. Sometimes we see party line votes where Republicans essentially push a proposal out of committee and Democrats can all vote against it, but the Republicans have the majority so they can pass an amendment out of committee. And then we saw a few amendments die on tie votes, so 12 to 12 votes, and that's pretty interesting. So for example, Representative John Fuller, a Republican from the Kalispell area, brought in an amendment to strip away $375,000 a year for a need-based financial aid program for college students. His argument was that these college students can find financial aid elsewhere and it wasn't a good investment for the state to make. And then Representative David Beatty, a Republican from Hamilton, who's known as a more moderate Republican, part of a group called the Solutions Caucus, he spoke against that amendment, saying that Montana is ranked lowest in the country right now in terms of investment in need-based financial aid. And he recommended that the rest of the committee vote against it. And we saw moderate Republicans on the committee side with Democrats to vote against that amendment, and it died 12-12. I'd also like to note that we saw some friction between the most conservative faction of the Republican Party and the Gianforte administration on one amendment. So Representative Matt Regeer, a Republican from Kalispell, you know, defended eliminating two positions at the state health department. Those positions serve as liaisons between the state health department and tribes. He said that these positions were duplicative, that there were other people who were doing this work and the state didn't need to invest in these jobs anymore. And so he proposed eliminating that. And then we saw Governor Gianforte's appointed director to the state health department, Adam Meyer, come out and say that he wants to keep those positions in place. And so he kind of went against what Representative Regeer was saying.
They're all, again, very complementary to each other. We need to make sure that we understand that there's distinct roles and distinct program elements that require very specialized expertise.
Eric, President Biden signed a new COVID stimulus bill into law last week. Is that going to have an impact on the state budget?
Yes, a big one. So that stimulus package, it's going to bring billions of dollars into Montana through state government. I was looking at an estimate from the governor's budget office that put how much they think the state's going to get at $2.7 billion with a B. Some of that's allocated to specific programs. For example, there's $400 million in there for K-12 schools and $152 million in there for emergency rental assistance. At least a billion of that is going to come in with enough flexibility that the legislature is going to have to sit down and decide how to allocate it. Big chunk of that money is nominally money that's being given to the states by the federal government to backfill budget crunches in places where revenues are down because of the economic impact of the pandemic. But Montana's budget's actually in pretty good shape. We're coming out of a decade plus. We've had a Democratic governor that didn't want to cut taxes and a Republican legislature that didn't want to spend money. So our rainy day accounts are pretty full. And the legislature hasn't been super worried about there being a budget crunch this year. So this is kind of like icing on the cake money. The mood in the House Appropriations Committee this week when they were starting to talk about how they're going to, you know, allocate this money was it kind of felt like a windfall coming to the state. And there's a joke in committee made about making sure Butte gets a second St. Patrick's Day parade. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how they decide to invest this and how they try to use that money in a way that provides value to the taxpayer.
So $2.7 billion. How much money is that relative to the overall state budget, Eric?
It's a lot. So the state general fund, which is the state's general checkbook, the amount of money spent out of there every year is about $2.5 billion. So that $2.7 billion is more. We essentially get like an extra year's worth of money for the legislature to play with here. As they try to figure out what to do with that, they're going to be breaking back into their topic area subcommittees to figure out how they want to spend things in different areas. There'll be another bill that goes through that's kind of a stimulus budget bill, essentially. There will be significant debate over how that money should be spent. The governor's budget director said last week they want to avoid creating programs that need ongoing funding over time. So, for example, they could take that money and set up, say, a public preschool program and use the money to hire a bunch of people. But that it's one-time funding. So when that money runs out, they'd have to like either raise taxes to fund that program a different way or lay all those people off and shut the program down. So I think it's probably more likely that we'll see something like a big broadband infrastructure program that takes the stimulus money and invests it in something that's kind of more of a one-time expense.
It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. The other major policy debate we expect to see in the next couple of weeks is centered on a bill that would outline regulation and implementation of recreational marijuana, which voters legalized last November. Shayla, you've been tracking that bill. Can you describe where it is in the legislative process?
Yeah, so we expect to see the recreational marijuana bill drop sometime in the next 10 days. It's rumored to be more than 300 pages long. I chatted with Representative Mike Hopkins, a Republican from Missoula, about this. He's the sponsor of the bill. And he says the bill is all-encompassing. It'll outline how the state is supposed to regulate marijuana, what resources the state needs to do that, and how the state will spend the revenue it earns from taxing the sales of the substance. Hopkins says the framework for Montana's medical marijuana program, which has been in place since 2004, has provided a good roadmap for this bill.
You could, for all intents and purposes, take the medical marijuana program, draw a line through the word medical, and have the foundation for your recreational program.
At least one lawmaker tried to bring a bill that would have delayed recreational marijuana implementation by 1 year, but that died pretty quickly in committee. Lawmakers are generally receptive to policies like this that have overwhelming voter support. So we'll be seeing that play out here in the next couple of weeks.
Speaking of state revenues, didn't Democrats just unveil a new tax bill, Kevin?
Right, and this one mirrors an earlier bill from Democratic Representative Emma Kirk Carpenter that didn't gain any traction, except this new one is narrower in scope. It would expand the earned income tax credit, which Kirk Carpenter says would provide roughly $12 million in tax relief per year for low and middle income Montanans.
I think everybody wants to put more money in the pockets of our constituents. We all understand that these are unprecedented times, and people are really hurting.
Democrats seemed optimistic the bill will find a lot more bipartisan support, but Republican Representative Becky Beard, who chairs the House Taxation Committee, threw cold water on that idea pretty quickly during an interview.
I certainly can't speak for all of the members of our caucus, but I'm sure the majority of our caucus would not be for it.
So those bills all involve revenue and finance. Shaylee, you're planning to follow a policy bill this week, right?
So I'm following a bill that Republican Majority Leader Sue Vinton is carrying, and it's actually already passed through the House, mostly on party lines. So House Bill 379 has to do with a law that Montana has had in place since the 1980s that essentially banned gender discrimination in insurance rate setting. And this bill wants to repeal that ban. However, this bill does not include health insurance because the Federal Affordable Care Act says gender discrimination is not allowed in rate setting in health insurance. So essentially, when Sue Vinton pitched this bill, she said that insurance companies would be able to rate premiums with gender in consideration. So for example, based on data that insurance companies use, 20-year-old male driver could see their car insurance rates increase because they typically have worse driving records than others. Another example is that women could see their life insurance policies increase because they tend to live longer. So we're going to see this bill come up in the Senate Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs Committee this week. And I think it's probably safe to say we'll see newly elected Republican State Auditor Troy Downing come out in support of this bill. He spoke in support of this bill when it was heard in the House committee. This was a policy that he proposed while he was campaigning for office. And essentially, he said that this bill is going to help industry thrive, that it's going to benefit insurance companies, and that he thinks it'll help consumers as well. So I'll be watching that bill in committee this week. Before we go, we do want to mention that there are quite a few bills that are either already on Governor Gianforte's desk or are making their way to his desk. So we expect to see him make some decisions on bills that would restrict access to abortion, change the judiciary in Montana, and another that would formalize the practice of direct patient care. Eric, Kevin, thanks so much for taking the time today.
No problem.
Glad to be here.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.